Good morning, everyone. Everybody's doing good today? Okay, we're going to be continuing our series on scriptures and the songs we sing. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for this day, another day that you've given us, Father, by your grace. Father, the sun is shining today. The weather's warm, and we're so grateful for that, God. We pray that not only this lesson today, but everything in this service is pleasing to you. We pray that it's all about you. Not about us in any type of way. And we just pray that it all brings glory to you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're doing scriptures and the songs that we sing. Week one, Alan Rouse gave us an overview. And then after that, Richard taught us about worship and being in awe of God. Week three, Peter Berry talked to us about hallelujah and the celebration of God's goodness. Week four, Peter Berry did sacrifice. Week five, Steve Galbraith did judgment and the end times. And then last week, Steve Collier gave us hope in adversity. Amen. And this week, we do scriptures and the songs we sing. How's this working? It helps when you turn it on. About heaven. Amen? Amen. We have 35 songs in our songbook about heaven. And in our church, Richard speaks a lot about heaven. We sing a lot of songs about heaven. And it would seem that we would know a great deal about the subject matter. You know, but in comparison to some other churches, I remember our brother, also from Africa, Nietzsche, who currently leads the Church of Brooklyn, said when he came to America, he realized that we really didn't sing a lot about heaven, or talk a lot about heaven. He said in Africa, they talk about it all the time, you know, because they have a lot of challenges over there. And he talked about one time in particular when they were having a church service, and they were having some civil unrest in the town that they were in. You know, the disciples, you know, had to travel many miles to get to church, and when they got there, soldiers, you know, were at the church armed, you know, and they weren't able to go in. And he said, he just told the disciples to start singing, and they sang like they never sang before. And they sang about heaven, and then the soldiers just turned around and walked away. So that's the power that we have in these songs, you know, and they should mean no less to us than it does to our brothers and sisters in those challenging situations. Amen? So I'm going to make this a little interactive. I got a question for you. What do we know about heaven? Anybody? No tears in heaven. Anybody else? Streets of gold, amen. It's God's throne. One more time. Amen. Campus, anybody got anything over here? It's up, okay. There's no night. Amen. How do we know these things? That's the only way we're going to know about heaven is what the scriptures tell us. And why is that? Because no one here has ever been there, right? Not only that, no one you know has ever been there and came back to tell you, other than Jesus, who we see in the scriptures. Amen? And the other thing is, there's no physical scientific proof that heaven actually exists. Now, I know there's articles and things out there of people who've had near-death experiences and saw things. You know, but this is Bible class, okay? And this is scriptures in the song we sing, so we're not going to talk about that stuff today. What we're going to talk about is what the scriptures say about heaven and the songs that we sing. Amen? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. However, it is written, no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. The scripture is referring to heaven, and you would think, okay, all scripture is true, and no one can really, in their mind, fathom, you know, what heaven is really going to be like or what heaven is like in general. So, you know, it's kind of funny that in preparing for this class, I Googled songs with heaven in the title, you know, and this is what I got. Okay? So there's some serious misconceptions about what heaven is like. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to, you know, learn about heaven and, you know, from Black Sabbath. or now I know some of you guys have some of this stuff in your music collection. I'm not trying to offend anybody, but you know, I love the Commodores, but you know, I don't want to learn about heaven from them either. Not from DJ Sammy, okay? And definitely not from, where is it? Not from Meatloaf, okay? And not from Kiss either. All right. And that prince is not the Prince of Peace. You know, that's another prince altogether, but we don't want to learn from him either, right? And I'm not going to go over the lyrics to any of these songs, you know, but they all pretty much carry the same type of theme, okay? There's some type of relationship here on earth that is so good, you know, that you must be in heaven, that this is what heaven must be like. You know, so when you read what the scriptures say, though, you really understand that the world has absolutely no clue to what heaven's going to be like. You know, and we have to constantly remind ourselves, because we get inundated with stuff like this, you know, through the scriptures, what heaven is like and what really, really awaits us. So in this class, we're going to look at a few scriptures about heaven just to remind us. And inside those scriptures, there'll be some lyrics that directly relate to or are actually contained in the songs that we're going to sing today in our worship service. But, you know, you look at this and imagine, you know, if you were someplace and you never heard about Jesus, you never heard about heaven, and then you heard about the concept and you looked on the computer, you know, and this is what you got. It would be a sad state of affairs if you're basing going to heaven on what you see out there in popular music. Amen? So, again, no one's ever come back to let us know what heaven is like. But this is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to a paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. So, of course, the third heaven, when we talk about the third heaven, the first heaven is the atmosphere and the clouds, and the second heaven is outer space, planets and stars and all that. And the third heaven is where God resides. So Paul is saying that he was caught up to the third heaven. And, you know, even if he recalled or could tell you what he saw, what he heard, he said, well, let me back up, sorry, that he's not permitted to tell you. So we have to learn about heaven from the scriptures. Revelation chapter 4, 2 through 11. It's kind of difficult to read, but the throne in heaven. At once, this is John speaking, of course. At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby, a rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Heaven's going to be awesome. You know, there's things in here that you see that if you saw them walking around here, you'd be pretty terrified. And as someone said earlier, there's no fear in heaven. So although we'll be able to see these things, they're not going to really concern us in the way of being fearful of them. It's just going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. And John, although Paul said he didn't know that he was in the spirit, you know, John definitely knew that he was in the spirit. You know, the Bible teaches that flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God, right? Amen. Let's look at some more scriptures. Revelations 21. Like I said, we're going to go through some scriptures, and then we're going to go look at the songs that we're going to sing today and see how these scriptures are inside the songs or pertain to the songs. A new heaven and a new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." And I want to talk about that there'll be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. That's an awesome thing to look forward to. Amen? Amen? You know, but what we have to consider is that, you know, some people that we know, you know, are not going to make it to heaven. I mean, that's according to the Bible, that's the way it's going to be. And that's a bitter pill to swallow. But you look here, it says there's going to be no mourning, right? And no crying or pain. You know, we had the Father's Prayer yesterday in the park, yesterday morning. A lot of guys were out there. Amen. It was awesome. Amen. Father, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And, you know, we pray about our kids. We're very concerned about that, you know, especially us who kids haven't decided to become disciples yet. And then even, you know, a lot of us, our parents have passed on, and they weren't disciples when they passed. You know, but what we have to realize is that it's going to be so awesome in heaven that we're not really going to be concerned about that. I mean, it's hard to wrap your brain around that. You know, but the Bible says it's no pain and no mourning. You know, it's just something to think about. To me, it was just pretty awesome just to think that's how glorious it's going to be for us. You know, when we sing our songs, you know, we have to have that type of thing in mind, you know, that it's just going to be so amazing to be with God. Of course, that doesn't omit us from doing everything that we can while we're here to help those we love and all those that we meet to make it. But it's just going to be that awesome, you know, and God's going to take care of us forever, you know, even if our loved ones didn't make it. Again, that's something to think about. Revelations 21, 9 through 27. One of the seven angels who had seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates are written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were three gates on the east, three on the north, three on the south, three on the west, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations on them, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates and its walls. The city was laid out like a square as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, which is about 15,000 miles, and it was as wide and as high and as long. The angel measured the city of pure gold. The angel measured the wall using human measurement, and it was 144 cubits thick. The wall was made of jasper and every kind of precious stone. Did I get that right? I skipped a part. Okay, the wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is the lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Again, you know, heaven's going to be awesome. It's an awesome picture. It's hard for us to even imagine all the things that go on, that are going to go on there. And again, the world can't really explain it to us, so we have to get it from the scriptures. We're going to read one more. Now, we want to keep these scriptures in mind when we see the songs that we're going to sing today. 2 Corinthians 15 says, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I'll tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed in the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I want you guys to finish this sentence for me. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to. That whole death thing is what throws us off a little bit, right? But, you know, it says here, you know, there won't be a sting of death for us. You know, so we don't have to worry about that. We need to eagerly anticipate going to heaven. Amen? You know, and, you know, like I said, we often hear that, you know, death is going to be, well, we hear different things about death, about, you know, being painful or whatever have you. But for the Christian, it's just going to be really awesome. Now, I know a lot of us would rather, you know, just be like Enoch or Elijah and just be taken up, you know, and not have to deal with that. You know, I heard a preacher talk about Enoch one time, and the Bible says Enoch walked with God for 300 years, and then he wasn't seen again because he was taken. And he said that Enoch and God were walking every day, talking every day, day after day, month after month, year after year, for 300 years. And then God looked up and said, you know what? We're a lot closer to my house than yours. Why don't you just come on, go home with me? Now, that's how I want to go out. You know, just say, you know, look up. Okay, you know, let's go ahead and walk into heaven. But for some of us, it's going to be that way. It says in a twinkling of an eye, you know, Jesus might come back today. You know, it might all be over. We might be, you know, waking up tomorrow in heaven. That'd be awesome. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 through 23. Now, it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. I think one of the main things that really fired me up about heaven is, you know, thinking about the Holy Spirit. When we were baptized into Christ, God just gave us a little piece of his spirit. You know, and sometimes, you know, I can really feel that spirit in me. I don't know about you, you know, amen? You can really feel that spirit in you. It doesn't happen often enough, you know, because being a sinner, sometimes I quench that spirit. But when we get to heaven, it won't just be the deposit, it'll be the whole thing. You know, can you just imagine that? How it's going to be, how it's going to feel to be permanently connected to God and feel his glory. You know, but before we had credit, you know, you'd put something down on something you wanted to buy, and later on you get the whole thing, right? You come back and pay the whole amount. Well, that's how it's going to be. We're going to get the whole thing in heaven. And it's going to be awesome. These are the type of things we need to have in our hearts and think about when we sing our songs. Just having God with us and feel the fullness of his spirit continuously forever. Jesus said, this is John 14, 2 through 3. Jesus said, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going to there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. I think that's just very, very comforting that Jesus lets us know that he's prepared a place for us, you know, that we're going to be with him. And again, you know, I want you to be encouraged by these scriptures. I want you to think about those when we sing about heaven. And right now we're going to look at the songs that we're going to sing today. Amen? And I know we've sung this many times in the past, but just keep in mind, you know, what we're singing about. Lo, what a glorious sight appears to our believing eyes. The earth and sea are passed away and the rolling skies. From the third heaven where God resides, that holy, happy place, the new Jerusalem comes down, adorned with shining grace. Attending angels shout for joy, and the bright armies sing, mortals behold the sacred seat of your descending king. The God of glory down to men removes his blessed abode, men the dear objects of his grace, and he the loving God. His own soft hand shall wipe the tears from every weeping eye, and pains and groans and griefs and fears, and death itself shall die. How long, dear Savior? Oh, how long shall this bright hour delay? Fly swift around, ye wheels of time, and bring the welcome day. So when you read the scriptures and you think about heaven, you know, this brings it to a whole new light. It makes it so more real to me. I don't know about you guys, but that's how I feel about it. This song was written by a guy named Isaac Watts. Sounds like a ball player, right? Isaac Watts. But he was born in 1674 in England, and he was what was called a nonconformist. The Church of England had very rigid rules about how you're supposed to worship God, even about how you pray. And his father, being a nonconformist, was actually imprisoned a couple times because of that. And so, you know, Isaac, he just wanted to worship God. You know, he wrote over 750 songs, hymns, and you know, this was just one of them. But again, you know, this is someone who faced, you know, some type of persecution or adversity, you know, and not to say that you have to go through that in order to sing these songs, but you know, just giving you some background on what's going on there. Another song we're going to sing today is "To Canaan's Land, I'm on My Way." To Canaan's land, I'm on my way where the soul of man never dies. My darkest night will turn to day where the soul of man never dies. Dear friends, there'll be no sad farewells. There'll be no tear-dimmed eyes. Where all is peace and joy and love, and the soul of man never dies. A rose is blooming there for me where the soul of man never dies, and I will spend eternity where the soul of man never dies. A love light beams across the foam where the soul of man never dies. It shines to light the shores of home where the soul of man never dies. My life will end in deathless sleep where the soul of man never dies. And everlasting joys I'll reap where the soul of man never dies. I'm on my way to that fair land where the soul of man never dies, where there will be no parting hand, where the soul of man never dies. Dear friends, there'll be no sad farewells, there'll be no tear-dimmed eyes. Well, all is peace and joy and love, and the soul of man never dies. This song was written by a gentleman named William Golden in Mississippi in 1918. Now, this just worked out like this, but he was in prison when he wrote this song. So again, actually doing 8 years in a penitentiary in Mississippi, you know, in the early 1900s, you know, no air conditioning, you know what I mean? So I think I'd be thinking about heaven too, you know, getting out and going to heaven. So again, you know, like strange coincidence, called the spirit or whatever, but you know, those are two of the songs we're going to sing. And another one is "Don't You Want to Go to That Land." I guess you can call this an evangelistic song, right? Don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound, where I'm bound? Don't you want to go to that land? Nothing but love in that land where I'm bound. Nothing but love in that land. Nothing but joy in that land where I'm bound. nothing but joy. Don't you want to go to that land? Nothing but love in that land, nothing but joy in that land where I'm bound. Nothing but peace in that land, because I've got a Savior in that land. So don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound? It's kind of a rhetorical question, right? If you really understand heaven, yeah, I want to go, you know. Take me with you. This song is considered a traditional song. And when they say traditional, it means they really don't know who wrote the song. But a lot of times, especially songs that originated in America, you know, songs like this originated on slave plantations. You know, so again, you've got a situation where, you know, people are thinking about going to heaven. You know, that their particular situations are grim, you know, so they can only think about going to a better place. You know, and I want to make that point because, you know, it's hard to really think about heaven if you feel like you're already there. You know what I mean? Your best day here, you know, is not going to compare to the worst day in heaven. You know, we can't feel like we've arrived, or no matter what the situation is, nothing that we experience here is going to compare to what God has in store for us in heaven. Philippians 3:19 through 21. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. This world is not our home. You know, we are citizens of heaven. We're not going to sing that song today, but, you know, we got to think like that. You know, how do you feel when you hear songs about, you know, a lot of us are from different places. How do you feel when you hear songs about your homeland or your hometown? A few years ago, my wife and I were in Paris for our anniversary, and we're in a store, and they're playing music, and the Empire State of Mind comes on. You know that? You guys know that song by Jay-Z? You know? So I'm in the store, I hear this come over, and I'm like, okay, I'm in a foreign land, I'm in France. Here's a song by an American. I'm an American. It's a song about New York. I'm from New York. Song about Brooklyn from a guy from Brooklyn. I'm from Brooklyn. So kind of subconsciously, I start walking around like this, you know? You know? I don't know where it came from, you know, but I mean, for you, it might be Sweet Home Alabama or my old Kentucky home or something like that, but Empire State of Mind did it for me, you know? So that New York swagger started coming out. So when we sing songs about heaven, our residents, our future residents, where we have our citizenship, we need to have that heavenly swagger. Amen? Amen. To God be the glory. You're dismissed. You can go get your kids. Thank you.